Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 75. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, gentlemen? Going on?
Going on, fellas.
I think I've switched my
dialect to the East Coast.
Hey, fellas.
Go get some gabagoons.
Hey. You doing all right?
Yeah.
Good.
So, 75 to 100.
Nice.
Wow. He's doing well.
Man. What'd you say is a Nathan kind of night?
It is a Nathan kind of night. Yeah. Well, Nate keeps coming up. His name, and then I've got an article pulled up with Nathan at the top, a little, I don't know. Little figure. It's interesting.
Yeah. And we got a contact for maybe a live show venue, and then, well, he's here.
Yep.
Nate, so the actual Nate, the man, lots the, myth, of Nate. The legend.
I'm right here.
Oh, it's what?
He's going to get his own avatar pretty soon.
Mm. That's right. When you hit it big. Mm-hmm. It's the big time.
If I had an avatar, I wouldn't have to get out of bed.
Oh, man, wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, that would be great.
Now we're dreaming.
What do you call it? When the person looks like you, drawn a blank.
Doppelganger?
Doppelganger. That's what we need.
Get a doppelganger.
You know, I don't have it today. Just go on in there. They won't notice.
But don't they? And they're not like it's a good versus evil kind of. It's like, oops.
Yeah, right. So, behave yourself.
What'd you do now, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, my doppelganger might behave himself better than I do.
Yeah, you might be the bad one.
I could be the doppelganger.
Right?
Ooh, how do we know that? We're not the doppelganger.
More zero.
Hey,
more.
We still need to do doppelgangers, don't we? Isn't that like a subject we've talked about covering before?
Mm-hmm. It is.
We just did, though. Okay, there you go.
A buddy of mine, 7-8 years ago, saw my doppelganger. He was at a gas station, took a picture of him, sent it to me. He goes, here you go. He goes, saw a guy who looked just like you. It was just like me.
For real?
Same build, same clothing, hat, glasses, height. I was like, oh, boy. He goes, you sure you weren't at the gas station? I said, no. Different vehicle, though.
And I saw you at a soccer field once, but not enough tattoos. I was like, no. Okay,
yeah, this is pre-tattoo.
Yeah.
I've had one where someone came up to me and was like, your name Chad? I'm like, no. I was like, oh, you look like a Chad that I know. And I'm like, well, I'm not Chad.
That's not Chad.
Not Brad.
They're like, are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Did you have to look at your driver's license?
Yeah.
Consult your mom and dad.
Yeah, right.
Hold on. You didn't name me Chad?
Let me call a friend. Well, guys, we are here for episode 75, mini 75, and we're glad the creepies are joining us once again.
Absolutely.
So let's get into the fun stuff. Sean, what are we going to talk about?
We are going to talk about your pick. So let's give credit where credit is due, right? Yay. We're going to talk about the Grand Midway Hotel in Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
You like that?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. No, Pennsylvania. I'll say it right.
I like it.
I get paid extra for being weird with the weird. Well, hold on, weird with the words.
Sean gets another zero for being creative.
Right. I know. I'm not sharing my zeros either.
So we have to say Translivania?
It's Translivania and Pennsylvania. Yes. Yes, it is.
Well, cool. Okay. Yeah, it is my pick. So you want to give a little foundation on the Grand Midway Hotel?
Sure.
Please and thank you.
It says, and I don't know how true this is nowadays because there's lots of changes in COVID, but this hotel, which houses a few invite-only guests, and at that point wasn't in full operation. I bet it is more now, but has a lot of history hidden within. It was bought by its current owner before it was going to be torn down by the mayor and was transformed into a sort of museum containing all kinds of supernatural and interesting items, which we'll talk about. Each room has its own intricately decorated theme. There are rooms like the Monkey Room, the Gypsy Tarot Room, the Demon Room, the Cemetery Suite, and more. It is located in the very center of Windbrier, Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, USA.
Nice.
You like that?
Good job.
Goodish jobish. Yeah. I think we need to put this on the list, by the way, right off the bat.
Pennsylvania?
Well, I was thinking more Grand Midway Hotel.
Just say Penn from now on.
It reminds me of the Clown Motel. mm-hmm. where they have the...
we talked about that many moons ago.
Many moons ago, how they have the themed rooms. I think they're making more, I think, from what I remember mm-hmm. us talking about. But they were going to do like the Michael Myers room and yeah. So I think these are fun where hotels do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they
or
play
if you go,
into it.
Yeah. And especially like, you know, this type of the horror and scary stuff. But like, you know, I remember when the kids were little, 10 years ago, we went to the Great Wolf Lodge in Cincinnati mm-hmm. and they had the different themed rooms and, you know, they made one look like a cave and another one like a rainforest.
Oh, so, yeah.
This is like more like the adult
you know, version, a haunted adult version.
Right,
yep.
Right. This would be right up my alley. Yeah. So I think that's cool that this place does that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I think, you know, obviously COVID did play a little havoc on life, right?
A little bit,
just a tad. I think I saw that it was not open as far as for hotel. And then I saw that it was used as a Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
So you might just want to call.
Yeah, before
say,
you.
Are you guys open? Can we stay there or not? Yeah. So anyway, it's got a lot of crazy stuff regardless if they're open.
From the
right?
pictures, it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's not overly fancy. It's mm-hmm. not a, but it's
it looks very quaint, actually. It looks very cozy.
Quaint. Yeah.
Quaint's a good way to put it.
Built in the 1880s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Says the decor includes animal heads and ghost portraits. I'm sold.
You got ghost portraits. Can you see the right? ghost portraits? Are they invisible?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it says, you know, the entire hotel is haunted, and the most haunted part is the canopy room, where a few guests have made it through the night. And then, of course, it's got the world's largest Ouija board on cool? the roof.
Mm-hmm.
It was painted on the roof in 2019, so pretty recent, and it is in the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest Ouija board. So there you go. Do we want to play it, though?
I do not. I don't. What'd you say, Nate, that the planchette should be like a... some kind of a deck table or a deck chair.
Lawn chair.
Come on, Grandma, get up. We got to use
the planchette. Well, I was telling Nate, I'm like, no, I think it'd be fun just to sit in it.
And then right?
see if it moves with you. Yeah.
Yeah, right. How is that going to work?
So that's kind of a cool thing, a little aspect of it, the world's largest Ouija board.
Did you guys mm-hmm. see that was built by the owner who's, he's a horror filmmaker or had been in films, and Blair Murphy. And he helped build it with the help of eight artists, and they call it the Massive Supernatural Game Board, and it measures 121.01 meters squared, rests on the flat roof of the hotel, and is visible only from Google Maps.
Yikes! I didn't see that part.
Isn't that cool? I thought that was interesting.
Well, what was the size again?
It was kind of weird. It's in meters. Okay. Meters squared.
Meters squared. Okay.
121.01 meters squared.
Let's look at Nate. You probably know that stuff, right? Why would that size be big?
1 meter is roughly 3 feet.
So that's pretty big.
Okay, because I know 3 feet's in a yard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of similar to a meter.
Sort of.
Sort of. Yeah. Just looking at the picture, it is big.
I wonder how many different messages have come from any seances that have been done up there. They actually do have a planchette that you push around up there. Would you be afraid of it? Exactly. Would you be afraid it like blow off the roof?
Oh my gosh! It lands on a car.
Bad weather's coming. Hide the planchette.
Right. I like it. I think it'd be kind of fun. I mean, I'm not a Ouija board guy. I know we've talked about like.
But it would be hard not to want to play with it.
But anytime you have a chance to play on the world's largest Ouija board,
mm-hmm. asking for big problems.
That's right. Bigger, yeah.
Remember the movie Big Trouble in Little China?
Mm-hmm.
This is Big Trouble in Little Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. On the rooftop.
It's hard to say.
Now I got you saying it, though.
I know. It's kind of fun.
I'm warping your mind slowly but surely.
And it did not need help doing So anyway, let's get into the fun stuff. You guys, I'll let you guys start if you want.
I wanted to give a little bit of background history of how, I know you said it came about in the 1880s. Mm-hmm. It's one of the earliest businesses in Winbur, providing a central station for arriving coal mining immigrants. Over the years, it served as a brothel, ladies of the night. I heard that in one of the videos. I'm like, yes, ladies of the night. A setting for weddings.
I would calm down about
that. Right, I know. I shouldn't get so excited.
Yeah.
I just do, though. We talk about it so often. I know. Not for the reason you think. Just because I enjoy mentioning ladies of the night.
Sorry, hey, creepy.
Somebody out there is going to think that's hilarious, and other people are going to be like, I'm going to not listen to this anymore. A setting, especially my wife. If my wife ever hears it, I make fun of that.
Sean, well, I mean, to his defense, back in that day, a lot of women, that was how they made money.
This is fair. I like to make fun of it, but it's not funny, I know. So if it gets around to my wife, she's not going to be happy.
See, I always thought if they're called ladies of the night, I would think it'd be ladies during the day and something else.
Well, that's a good point.
Hey, you know what? Let's move on to your...
Let's keep moving. Okay. A setting for weddings, for funerals, mine, ooh, probably one of these days, and for fine dining. There are 32 rooms, and there are countless ghost encounters stories from folks who have stayed the night there. Back in the day when Cole was king, the Grand Midway Hotel, along with a few other local hotels, like I said, it was a brothel, and there were endless ghost stories and hauntings that popped up about prostitutes. So there's still a lot of sightings about these prostitutes, ladies of the night, right? Mm-hmm. Who worked here, as well as ghost coal miners still hanging around.
It seems like a lot of these hotels, like Nate said, back then they were kind of limited on how to make a living, mm-hmm, or support themselves and their kids.
Well, it was a hard life. We've talked about that, yeah, a lot. I mean, from Jack the Ripper to all these other
times. Yeah, right. Times. Whether it's in the United States or in England or wherever.
Even though this is the East, you know, we're, mm-hmm, talking the East, they said it felt very much like the Wild Wild West.
Sure.
You know,
and that's there. What it looks like. Mm-hmm. The it outside of it. Yeah. But a lot of those hotels back then, they were brothels, and it seems like we've talked about in the past, these poor women, they were abused and murdered and just thrown aside, and, you know, because it's like, who's going to miss them, right?
Yeah.
They weren't treated very pleasantly. And so you get a lot of crazy paranormal stuff from
you
these
do
women.
Mm-hmm. And all these coal miners, I think this is the first, yeah, it says, yeah, the first coal miner ghost stories from a hotel worker who placed flowers in the hotel dining hall, and then she flew home to California. The next morning she woke up shocked to see a man dressed as a coal miner standing at the front of her bed. She described him as seeming nice, that he simply seemed to be saying thank you to her for the flowers gesture. Then he vanished.
Mm.
Spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Spooky.
I like it. Yeah, I see you over there, Nate, with the Ouija board.
Yeah. He's in the planchette.
Wait a minute. He's not even touching it. It's moving.
His head's spinning around.
Uh-oh. I feel nauseous.
Look out for the pea soup.
Pea soup.
sorry. Some of the rooms.
New sound effect.
Let me get to that list. You have the Vampire Suite.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Frankenstein Suite. Werewolf Suite. Mummy Suite.
Mummy Suite.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Next to the.
Poor daddies get all
the shaft.
The Mermaid Suite.
Nah.
Dragon Suite. Mm. Phantom Suite.
Ooh, Phantom.
I don't know. Beatnik Suite. I don't know really what that one's going to look like, but
yeah. And then, use your imagination.
Yeah.
Witch's Suite.
Ooh.
Ghost Suite. Zombie Suite.
Ooh.
Canopy Room, which you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And
which kind of sounds boring after all these.
Yeah, right.
I'll live in
it's like the mermaid room.
Sleep in the canopy room. Yeah, right.
I think that is it as far as rooms that they're listing.
Did you say vampire?
Yeah. That's the very first one.
Okay. Which one would you stay in?
I figured
you would. Vampire.
I like the Frankenstein room too, though.
I'm surprised they don't have like a Bigfoot room or a cryptid. Some other.
Give them some ideas, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, underneath the Mermaid Suite, they have like the Black Lagoon room.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Romantic.
Sam.
Yeah, how romantic.
That sounds romantic.
The zombie room. You know. Did you say a werewolf room?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
And then there's,
I think I stay in that one.
I think in the Phantom Suite, they have a room or a gallery. It's called the Ye Old Demon Room Paint Gallery.
Mm. Ooh, the Ye Old Demon. Ooh.
Ye Old.
Ye Old. No, I'm not.
Ye Old.
I'm middle-aged. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what room I'd stay in. Maybe the Beatnik room, just to see what's in there.
Right. I would like to see what a Beatnik is.
Sir, would you like a room? Yes, I want the Beatnik room, please. I want to check what this has. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I'm intrigued by this story. Little girl ghost, body buried in the basement.
Oh, no. Not another one.
I have, let's see. This is a story. I had, this was back in June 9th, 2013.
Ooh.
I had to do some quick electrical work in the hotel basement. So I was down there alone in the pitch dark using my cell phone as a light source. It was like my phone was swatted out of my hand. Really. Hmm. It bonked to the floor and dismantled.
Hmm.
Really? So I am reaching down around the bottom of the old creepy stairs trying to find the phone parts in the dark. I gather up the phone but realize the battery is gone.
Oh, no.
And can't find it anywhere in the darkness. Seeming to have probably bounced down behind the old wooden creepy stairs into the forbidden zone.
Not the forbidden zone.
So I have to start digging around with my hands in one of those spaces. Ancient cobwebs, mud, rust, rusty nails. Oh. Little bits of history and other things better left untouched in the complete dark. You know the scene.
It's very descriptive.
Yeah, I can picture it.
I kept thinking about the rhythm or the rhyme a psychic friend years ago told me she picked up on from a dead little girl in our basement. 609, come and see me anytime. I play in riddle and in rhyme. My father killed me.
Ooh,
what a crime. And I keep visualizing the creepy dead kid under the stairs from the movie that circulated recently. Imaging, that's what she looked like. No, I don't want to play. I'm thinking.
Why not?
And don't touch my hand as I reach back and dig around there. I was having such an enchanted morning. Anyway, I eventually find the phone battery way back in there under those stairs. So the history of the child ghost in the Midway starts like this. About 6 months after our purchase of the building, someone involved with the sale of the hotel, maybe a lawyer, maybe a real estate agent, maybe a code inspector, maybe a police chief, maybe a family member, told us a story of how there was supposed to be a body buried in the basement, a child.
Oh.
So we started doing research. Eventually, several psychics, not knowing this story, stated flat out how there is a body buried in this hotel basement.
Creepy.
So when we go there, we want to be in the basement.
Yeah. Apparently.
So that says many, many guests.
Three of us together, though.
Yeah.
Many guests have reported experiencing a little girl ghost. Though the stories take place all over the hotel, the basement and the third floor seem to be their most popular domain.
Hmm.
The claims by guests were mostly from women. They were not negative so much as playful, mischievous, or wanting attention. I can remember Sarah Ireland mentioning it the first time, how she was certain a little girl climbed up on her when she was napping and took a nap next to her.
Oh.
Years later, Deanna Kane was vacuuming on the third floor and she'd watched the curtains in the doorway rise to mid-level as if someone was passing through. 50 stories later of a little girl ghost touching someone, and she seems like just another resident in the building anymore.
Oh, now Aaron has talked to us about kids, and when you feel kids' spirits, you know, obviously that always gets to us. But she said it feels like a lot of times those kid spirits want to kind of like be drawn to like mother figures or parental figures, and she said they just seem to want to be comforted. So that breaks my heart, you know, that they're just attempting to reach out and like find some kind of comfort.
Yeah, very rarely do they are they
malicious.
Yeah, I mean
mischievous maybe. But.
Yeah, right. I mean,
unless they're black-eyed kids.
Yeah,
and they're just little.
Let's talk about that again.
I've got a story here. And it involves a little girl. Now, I don't know if this ties into what Nate just told, but if it does, there's a little more to it. But let me just see here. One of the most popular ghosts is that of a little girl. I'm sorry, that of a girl, Martha, presumably victim of a tragic accident. Locals would mention a terrible death that happened at the Grand Midway Hotel many years ago. It says a young woman had been watching fireworks on the 4th of July, 1911, from her balcony, and supposedly, this is awful, a rocket suddenly shot up and struck her in the neck, knocking her throat off.
That's awful.
Wow.
I know. I read that one. I was like, ugh.
She died right there on the balcony. Some said you could still see her image in one of the third floor windows all these years later. However, there are no records of any unusual fireworks death, and no newspapers reported the supposed accident. Maybe some witnesses, but curious... Excuse me. Maybe some witnesses, but curious fact, all records of that season were missing from the files, apparently moved into a private person's home, and to this day have not resurfaced. However, it seems that the fact was really, this is really written bad, was really happened, and the girl was Martha Minnie Cerwinski, born January 4th, 1893, and she died July 4th, 1911. Then I think this might be what Nate's talking about. There are, in addition, very distinct ghosts who haunt the third floor that appear as dark wisps in the shadows. And over the years, a sort of professor-like spirit keeps turning up. And it seems there is a little girl's body buried in the basement. That's awful. I don't think I've heard of somebody's neck getting shot off by a firework rocket. God. That's terrible.
It's terrible. Yeah, it is.
It's pretty... pretty gruesome.
Yeah. You hear about those things like in war. Yeah, well, when somebody, you know, you're talking to somebody, or if you see it in the movies, you know, and next thing you know, they're like gone, you know, like blown
right,
away.
Right.
But yeah, you don't think about that as in a 4th of July accident. Yeah. There were so many different, some of these rooms are just, you have to see the pictures. Mm-hmm. Some of these videos of, you know, going through some of these rooms and some of the stories. There are everything we talk about, orbs, there are smells, there are shadow people, like I said, dark wisps. I love that, the way that it says it in shadow. And this, the professor-like spirits come up, the kid spirits come up. They're so, like, over and over again. There's also talk that the fact that they keep everything so creepy, and there is a theme to a lot of these rooms, that they're actually drawing in that kind of energy, and some of the hauntings are based on... just kind of like what we've talked about with Whisper's Estate, you know, how they bring in that energy of, it's like you almost want it to be haunted. Yeah, so yeah, it does have a history that brings in the haunting. But like I said, it's almost, you know, drawing that attention into it. The other funny thing that I did find that I actually looked up while you guys were talking is a beatnik. A beatnik is a person. This will give you an idea.
And I've heard of that, but I can't remember the description. Yeah, so please share.
A beatnik is a person who participated in a social movement in the 1950s and early 1960s, which stressed artistic self-expression and the rejection of the mores of conventional society broadly. A usually young and artistic person who rejects the mores of conventional society.
Okay.
So kind of an outcast or somebody that's doesn't follow a non-traditional rule-following type person.
Right.
Doesn't follow the rules.
Okay.
My heroes. A beatnik.
A beatnik.
So, yeah, they have... let's see.
These rooms are amazing, though.
Yeah.
Oh, they really are.
Well, they have the largest tarot card...
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Right.
Warhol benches, the magic room, secret backstairs, man in the hall ghost, a zombie shrine, the monkey room, which you mentioned earlier, the Poe room.
Oh.
The professor ghost is another ghost, cemetery jars. don't know what that would
be. Well, and they had said, yeah, in that story I just read, they were talking about the professor ghost. Yeah. But there's a room?
This is just highlighting some of the rooms and that are the odd ghosts.
Gotcha, yeah, yeah.
That they've labeled.
Okay.
The mysterious attic. So evidently there's stuff going on in the attic.
Always is something going on in the attic.
Or the basement.
Seems like someone dies falling off of roof.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Getting their throat blown away by a firework.
Yeah.
It's pretty gruesome.
I like this, how it says the owner says, nobody comes here for a good night's sleep. It's not that kind of place. People who come here are paranormal investigators or curiosity seekers. And it's a real niche of a vibe that we nail, says Blair Murphy. So Blair used to live in Los Angeles working on horror movies. But when a friend of his noticed a hotel was for sale online, he decided to come and check it out. He bought it for like $11,000.
Oh, man.
That's it. A week later, let me say it correctly. I found myself living here, Murphy said. The sellers didn't say anything about the haunting aspect, which is awesome. 20 years later, while Murphy is no longer living in the hotel, he still has it open to the public. Paranormal investigators and thrill seekers are often poking around through all hours of the night to experience strange phenomena like door slamming, voices, and even seeing ghosts. Murphy says he believes the hotel chose him to be in a way to, or in, that the hotel actually chose him to be its new host.
Ooh.
So he felt drawn to it.
Okay, they call it the mysterious attic because there's no access.
What? That's weird.
Sounds like the Winchester House.
Yeah, where, yeah, right?
Yeah, these crazy hallways.
Enter at your own risk from
it says, the
things that don't
the roof.
Lead.
Mm-hmm.
The forgotten attic one evening just yawned wide open. Hmm. It had been completely sealed off since the hotel was built. Trying to get to the roof and finding no route to do so, they saw a small hole into the third floor ceiling. To their surprise, they discovered...
You're going to get us all yawning.
They discovered this entire massive forgotten space. They climbed up and investigated. It was massive, the size of the entire hotel. It looked like a giant whale's rib cage with wooden beams lining deep into the shadows. So, yeah, that's... I don't
creepy.
Know. You'd think that you'd want access into mm-hmm. the attic, but
I would.
They said that Murphy actually lived there by himself for a while, and then the longer he stayed there, and the more they thought of these projects, he said it's pretty much been an artist retreat since we bought it. We just started throwing dinner parties, costume dinner parties, and wacky private parties, and then a whole bunch of people from Pittsburgh discovered us. And they were using it like a resort to escape to, and it just blew up from there. A lot of artists accumulating all around us. The Grand Midway Hotel gained a lot of attention for its famous ghost stories. Murphy said that while the whole place is haunted, two rooms are said to have a lot of activity, but it is not always that way. So it kind of it can be anywhere.
Oh man,
I looked into the dies and fall from roof. It was actually the inventor of the Ouija board.
Mm.
It wasn't at the hotel.
Oh.
They're just giving you tidbit information since they have the Guinness World Record, biggest one, on the roof.
Until we make it. No.
It said William Fold, a toy manufacturer.
William Fold?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bill Fold.
Bill Fold, yeah.
I cracked myself up.
Man, squeezed a dad joke in there.
You did.
Continue. Touche.
It said he was the inventor of the Ouija board. Died this afternoon at St. Joseph's Hospital from injuries received earlier in the day when he fell three stories to the street from the roof of the toy factory. At 54 years of age,
Ooh. He
had gone to the roof to supervise the replacement of a worn-out flagpole. He was standing near the edge of the roof, balancing himself by grasping an iron support of the pole. According to the workmen, when the support pulled from its moorings, Mr. Fold toppled over, backwards and fell to the ground. At the hospital, physicians found he was suffering from concussion of the brain, 5 fractured ribs, broken arms, and a fractured leg. So, yeah.
Other than that, he felt... Other than that, poor Billfold. I'm cracking myself up over that. Poor guy.
Yeah.
That bugger.
It's wild.
It is wild. We're talking about Blair Murphy, the owner.
Uh-huh.
Says, a couple stories here. He says, one time I was found asleep in a room on the 3rd floor, and I had a big dog at the time. And I woke up, bolt awake, around 2 or 3 in the morning, and my dog was staring into the corner, and there was like a black wisps. I'm sorry, there was like black wisps kind of floating around. It was really kind of creepy and crazy. And he said on another occasion, he and some guest at a barbecue were jolted by the tortured screams of a friend coming from upstairs. He said it was so over the top horrendous that we ran upstairs and she was on the ground and had lost control of her body and was screaming out of control, Murphy said. She said that she had zapped her finger on a lamp. When she turned, she saw a little dead girl screaming at her in the hallway, and she just lost control. And he said it was actually kind of frightening by that point to see our good friend in this condition. The screams were so piercing that neighbors called the police. And he said all we said was, somebody saw a ghost, and they said, okay, thanks, and they left.
Okay. Yeah, right there.
And okay, whatever.
We're good.
Yeah. All right, just want to make sure nothing happened weird.
Desensitized, right?
Gosh, that's crazy.
It says, while the Grand Midway Hotel has many trapdoors and secret rooms, Murphy says he feels safe and secure in his home. I don't worry about any items. Like, I think if you're really solid in your convictions with God, nothing can hurt you anyways, said Murphy. That's just the way I live in this building. But other people, when you live there, but other people have come here and they're kind of susceptible to stuff. But I don't worry about anything, and I try to live like that as an example. And then it also talks about how many antique items have been donated to the hotel. Dirt from graves line the hallways. 2 attractions for visitors.
Thanks.
Are the Guinness Book of World Records, world's largest
bringing this dirt in.
Tarot card, and the world's largest Ouija board. Like what we've talked about, the hotel will be going for a 3rd record of the world's largest gathering of wizards.
Wizardry.
That was a couple years ago.
Not the Washington Wizards, the basketball team.
Not the basketball team, okay. The actual Wizards, but yes.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on here.
You're a wizard, Harry. Wait, that's...
We'll have to look and see what the distance is. It can't be that far away. Or it could be, I guess.
It could be, but
it could be 20 hours, yeah. Well, I think we've said all we could, I think. I mean, you have anything else?
I don't think so.
No.
I'm trying to get to the main...
That's a wrap. Okay. Yeah.
Nate, what do you got?
I don't know. We're only midway through this thing.
Oh.
He set us up.
He was just waiting.
That's a wrap.
Set us up.
Turkey lurkey waiting
like
for
a bowling pin.
Thanksgiving dinner. Look at him.
I'll tell you.
He's all proud of himself.
He is. Look at him. Man, he got us there. I was like,
I was like, man, is he not prepared? What the heck, man?
I'm never prepared.
What the heck?
Oh, well. Well, we want to thank you, creepies, for listening to our middle-aged mini number 75 and our discussion on the Grand Midway Hotel. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See you.